Last week, we spent time reviewing God's divine design for marriage. Now, today, we're going to consider his design for husbands. So, husbands, are you at the ready? First of all, did you know that God's plan from the beginning was for the husbands to be, well, the chief hunter-gatherers? Listen to what Genesis 2, verse 15 through 18 says about that. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him.'" Now, this was before what we call the fall, so work in itself is not a curse, but it's one of man's chief responsibilities. And for those who can receive it, well, it's even a wonderful blessing. Adam was to be the breadwinner. You can take note of it that he was going to have a helper, though, to assist him in his work. He was going to need assistance with that. Reading on from verse 21, we're going to see who that helper would be in Genesis. "So the Lord God caused the man to fall to a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he'd taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman.'" Now, though it was primarily Adam's job to tend the Garden of Eden as the main provider, the implication is that Eve would share in the labor as well as in the fruit. She was going to be his helper. Now, that idea that somehow it's intrinsically wrong for a woman to work outside of the home, well, that's just not true. Yet, as we'll see later, it is true when we talk about wives later that she'd be busy with some other responsibilities that would often limit her ability to help with, again, those provisions. And guess what? It was going to become a much harder job for the man to provide for the family after his selfish rebellion. For Genesis 3, verse 17 and following tells us God said this to Abram, to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. From now on, curses the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food and until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Now, once again, here we see the emphasis is placed upon the husband to work hard to sustain the family. He's the one with the principal responsibility to put food on the table. He is. Now, sadly, there are a lot of guys these days who are delinquent in that regard. In fact, I've met some young men who shy away from marriage because they're quite comfortable living off mom and dad. Then there are husbands who seem content to have their wives work to pay for the essentials, like food and shelter, while they use a huge chunk of whatever income they make to buy big boy toys, like game controllers, jet skis, off-road bikes, customized cars or trucks. Now, not that there's anything wrong with those things. But again, if those are the focus of just taking care of self and for own pleasure, that that's why they work, then they're missing the mark. Another thing that seems apparent from Scripture is that the husband is meant to be the defender of his family. The historical record in the Bible reveals that God would always have the men inducted into the Lord's army, called into battle to defend the homes and families. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, the Apostle Paul told the church that God intended for the husband to be the head of the wife, which refers to his leadership, his oversight, and protection. Yet I feel compelled here to point out that Adam, well, he failed to provide those for Eve. He failed miserably in his God-given assignment I say that because Genesis 3:6 tells us Adam stood by and watched while Satan enticed Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. He was right there watching when she did that. Instead of stepping in, he stepped aside. Even tried to cast blame on the very one he should have been protecting. Now, I think you know the rest of the story. That didn't end well. Perhaps the clearest picture of the principles of a man's, particularly the husband's provision and protection, is found in Ephesians 5, verse 25 and following. It says there, in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. We are members of his body. Verse 31, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." So here we see again, the husband is to feed and care for his wife. He's to feed and care for his wife. And his example for doing that is Christ himself. The husband is to follow the example of Christ, to be ready to lay his life down for his wife, as the Lord did for his church. Now, that sure seems to me like a call to rise up and defend, if necessary. But more than merely being willing to die for the wife, he's to live for her, making sacrifices every day to see that her needs are met. That's the idea. That's the concept. Christ left heaven and earth to come here. He made that sacrifice to come here and suffer and bleed and die for his bride. But he lived for her before he died for her. So he's our example, husbands. We're to follow him. To see that our wives... Now, that's a tall order, though, don't you think? How many husbands would say that's a tall order? Paul told believers in Rome, in Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, that it's a rare thing to die for a really good person. But Christ laid down his life for us when we were no good sinners. Let that sink in. Now, my wife is one of the finest women I have ever known. But she'd be the first to tell you she is not perfect. Now, she's close enough to perfect for me, but she's not perfect. No wife is. But the example of Jesus is for me to love and care for her, to provide for her, protect her, even on her worst days. So listen up, guys. We're not ever to withhold love and affection from our wives. Never to withhold care and protection from our wives. Even if we think there are some days they don't deserve it. At the risk of having my words twisted here and perhaps upsetting a few husbands, the indication here also is that we're to shower compliments and gifts on our wives. She's to get the idea that she's the loveliest woman in the world to us. After all, Jesus made sure his bride was bathed in love and dressed in what sounds to me like a wedding gown. I can't help but think Jesus gave up everything for his bride. And I'm to follow his example. And once again, friends, listen, that's a hard act to follow. My wife has expensive tastes. Yet Nina doesn't feel she deserves nice things. When we went to pick out our engagement ring nearly 48 years ago, she chose one from the display case. Oh, I like that one. We couldn't see the price tag until the clerk took out the box and opened it up for her. One glance and she closed the box and asked if he had anything cheaper. I interrupted, telling the clerk, "We'll take it." It was a lot, but I could afford it then, and she was well worth it in my eyes. Now, things haven't changed a lot over the years. She sometimes lingers over things she'd like, but moves on when she sees the price tag. She's reluctant to order what she really would like at restaurants because of the cost. Now, when I insist on treating her, and I insist on buying her nice things, she always says, "This is too extravagant. You shouldn't spend so much on me." My reply is usually, "Don't be silly. You're worth more to me than anything I could ever give to you." Now, wives, we're going to talk about your role in this relationship next week, so don't be too quick to demand from your husband what you think he should do for you, okay? That's the Lord's job, to convict him. And I pray that some of them will be convicted today through this message. But also, if a gift is not freely given, the real value of it is diminished, isn't it? Now, of course, the most important thing of all that a husband is to do for his wife is provide spiritual leadership. Christ's number one goal was to present his bride to his Father as a radiant church. In other words, bathing her in the goodness and grace of God, she would be clothed in righteousness. Jesus lovingly leads his bride into a deeper relationship with his Father. And husbands, that's what we're to do as well. To lead our wives into a deeper relationship with God the Father. Well, how do we do that? Well, by following Jesus as closely as we can. We need to make it our personal goal to be more like Christ. And listen, we need to pray for our wives and pray with our wives. Nothing perhaps communicates more to them our value of them than when we do that. We pray for them and with them. Spend time with our wives in the Word and accompany them to church. Notice that, accompany them to church. So important that we do that. It shows not only that we value her, but we value God's Word, we value the relationship with Him, and we want them to understand and appreciate how much they are loved by Him as well as by us. Pay attention to 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives, treating them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of His precious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, some ladies may feel insulted by being thought of as the weaker partner. But don't be. Though the main idea is that women may not be physically as strong as some men. I met more than a few women I wouldn't want to wrestle. Still, despite the super tough heroines in movies and TV series over the past couple decades, it's generally true that women are more vulnerable to certain attacks, especially during times of pregnancy. Women can be extremely strong in faith and character, but tend to be more sensitive to criticism and easily wounded by physical and verbal abuse. Peter here is in no sense devaluing the wife, but he's charging the husband once more with a particular responsibility to value and protect her as a precious but fragile treasure. That's what he's telling the husbands. Be careful in your dealings with her. Don't hurt her in any way. Don't harm her. Husbands need to cover their wives in a cloak of love and acceptance. Guys, this starts with guarding our speech when we talk to them and talk with them. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. I'm seeing a theme here. Be considerate with them. Treat them with respect. Don't be harsh. We should never be curt in the way we communicate with our wives. Our wives need to feel safe in our presence and feel comforted by our support. Take note that the wife is also an heir to the grace of God with us. And mistreating her could hinder a husband's prayers. Every married man should give serious thought to that. Heaven's response to our needs is affected by our response to her needs. That's what's being said. So let me pose a question or two. First, what would marriages look like if husbands embraced their role as provider and protector of their wife's physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being? I, for one, believe we'd see far less dysfunction in the family. There would surely be fewer divorces and a huge decline in the number of broken homes. More kids would experience the warmth and security of a healthy family. And speaking of that, we're going to delve deeper into the benefits of God's design for fathers on Father's Day. But for right now, this leads to another question. What would our culture look like if husbands stepped up instead of stepping aside? I'm convinced we'd see a more peaceful, productive society. Pope Paul II is credited for the saying, as the family goes, so goes a nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live. I concur. This idea is deeply rooted in Scripture. And church leaders in the 1800s, believe it or not, blamed the failure of Christian husbands to lead in family devotions to the sad state of the world in their time. It seems to me, and I didn't live in the 1800s, but things seem to be far worse today in our culture than they were then. Now, though I don't think the mess we're in today is solely due to the lack of a husband's spiritual direction, I don't doubt for a moment that's a significant contributor. So, if any of you ladies have a godly husband who loves you and puts your needs above his own, let him know how much you appreciate him. One of the things that's in the top list of what men need is the respect of their wives. That respect. So let your husband know how much you appreciate his godly service to you. Several years ago, a young man told me he was upset because his marriage was on the rocks. Now, I kind of picked up on that, sailing motif, and I said, well, who steered the ship into those troubled waters? He began to blame his wife, and he just kept with it, for always rocking the boat. He said she hardly ever did as she was told, without an argument. He proceeded to tell me that I needed to tell her that as his wife, she had to submit to him and whatever he wanted. Now, that's when I reminded him that God had placed him at the helm, and though he might be the captain of the ship, he did not own her. She was not his deckhand, let alone his slave. Then I pointed out that Ephesians 5:21, often overlooked in this discussion, says we're to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. I also suggested that we husbands may need to make changes in our treatment of our wives before expecting them to change in their responses to us. That wasn't received well. Not at first. But we got together a few times thereafter to study Christ's example as a loving provider and protector. Later on, I met with his wife for a serious chat before counseling them as a couple. I am glad to say that they're still together and happy in their marriage, both serving in their church. He's a deacon, and she serves in ministries. My experience, summing up, has been that when husbands love their wives like Christ loves his church, dynamic changes take place in the home, which seems to be exactly what God's word promises. And not only will dynamic changes take place in the home, they'll take place in our community. The more husbands accept that role to love their wives as Christ loves his church. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you again for this time together. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, Father, for the reminder of the role of husbands in the family. I want to thank you. And I'm praying that the wives will personally thank their husbands, but I want to thank you for the godly husbands that I see in our congregation, that I know in my own family. Father, I want to thank you for those husbands that lead lovingly, that they provide and they protect for their wives. And I want to thank you for them. I want to thank you for the strength and encouragement they bring. I want to thank you for them. Father, but I pray for them. As I pray for myself, I ask you, Father, for strength. I ask you for wisdom and discernment. Help us, Father, to always think before we speak and always to remember that you love our wives more than we do, but you call for us to love them probably more than we do. Father, thank you for Christ loving us so much. They lived his life perfectly for us, sacrificed so many things in life for us, and then laid down that perfect life for us. We praise you. We thank you. And we ask, Father, if there are those in the sound of my voice who may even actually be offended by what they're hearing because they don't understand that your plan and your purposes will bless them, not hinder them, not rob them of joy, but again, help them, Father, to find all the bliss and fulfillment and contentment in their relationships that you intended from the very beginning. Thank you for the relationship we have with you. In Jesus, in his name we pray, and amen.